Welcome to Highway Christian Community's Sermon Download. Our aim is to reveal from Scripture just how good God really is. Find more of our sermons and other links, as well as contact details, at our website, www.highway.org.za. That's highway.org.za. May this sermon bless you. Enjoy.
In the meantime, Gary. The power for the hour, for the day, for the week. Mondays, you see what this t-shirt says, friends. Gary preached on this a few months ago. Mondays are the new Sundays. Isn't that amazing? Mondays are the new Sundays. Come on.
Amen.
Gary, we bless you this morning. We thank you for the word you have in your heart that the Holy Spirit has put there. And we want to say that our hearts are open to receive it. We know we're going to get life from it. And it's going to infuse us with encouragement for this week so that our Monday, tomorrow, will be our new Sunday. Amen.
Amen. Good morning, everybody. How are we doing? So this is some folks in the church after the service. They went and they found this in Woolworths, and they gave it to me. This is what I pressed. So I didn't find it. But thanks to Woolworths for having heard the sermon. I don't know if somebody sent it out to them. So Steve and Jan, I spoke to them. They sent their love. They're down in Cape Town. Went to a wedding. Had a wedding they needed to attend. But they sent their love. And it's not easy being away from the family, especially when you have been part of the family for such a long time. So for the last few weeks, we've been dealing with subjects such as God's in our boat. Steve preached that on Christmas Day. God is in our boat. And then Terry shared about dreams. Now, who got that message? If you didn't get that message, you need to get that on the podcast or through the net or however we do it over here, because it will inspire you. It inspired me. And sometimes I was still hanging on to an old dream that had died ages ago. And sometimes when you do that, condemnation comes on top of you. And you feel, oh man, I should never have. And you know, I was released. God set me free. And a few weeks before that, Dave preached a great message on hearing the Holy Spirit. And you know, that actual week, I needed to get something from the shop. I went to Builders. I needed to get a screw for my bride. One screw had broken off. And I went to Builders and I got the screw. It's a little bolt. I got it. And I left Builders in Palm Town, and I'm going through to my home in New Germany. And as I'm coming down at the entrance, the intersection of Caversham, the Holy Spirit says to me, you must go to EIS and go and get your bolt there. I said, no, I've got the bolt. I don't need to go there. He said, no, you need to go there and get the bolt. So now I'm thinking, maybe this bolt has got a crack in and it's going to break. So he knows that, so he's instructing me to go there. And so I was having this little wrestle. Obviously, I went past EIS. I didn't listen instantaneously, but I did do a U-turn after 300 meters of detour, and I came back, and I went in, and I took the one I had, and I said, I'm looking for something like this, and the guy looked at me and thought, but you've already got one, you know, and I said, no, I need one like this. So he says, well, I've only got black. I said, black is fine. I just need a bolt. I didn't know why I was there, because I had a bolt. But as I got out of my car, and I started walking into EIS, I said, Lord, this, you spoke to me, so show me now. It's not about a bolt. I'm realizing that now. Got my bolt. I'm waiting. I'm looking around. There's something about to happen. Somebody in a wheelchair. I can pray for anything. Just something. So I know, you know, I'm on song here. And nothing. So I get to the cashier to pay, and this gentleman says to me, "Have you got your ticket?" I said, "No, I've got my Bolt." He says, "No, in order to pay for your Bolt, you've got to go and get a ticket." So I've got to walk over this side here. I go get my ticket. It's got 47 on. What that means about, I don't know, that's their system. Get my ticket of number 47. I go stand in my queue. Again, I lost one place. Okay, a little bit annoying. I hate queues. I don't do queues too well. Lose one place. Anyway, I stand there thinking, tag 47. What's that about? Get in the queue, wait, get there. And some guy turns around in front of me and says, "Hey, Merry Christmas, man. Sorry I'm so rude. Merry Christmas. Hope you have a splendid new year." I said, "Good." English guy. I said, "Wonderful. You have a great new year and Christmas too." "Yeah." "Yeah, no, no, I'm going to. Thank you very much." You carry on. So he pays. This other chap pays. And then I pay. And now I'm walking out. And this guy slows down. So I speed up because now something must be happening now. So I speed up and I get on behind him, and he turns to me and he says, "Anyway, have a good day." I said, "No, you too, you too. What else, what else, what else, what must I do?" You see? So he goes and gets in his car, which is parked right next to mine. And then he gets out of his car and he comes back around to mine because I'm taking my time getting in because this can't be the end. Okay? And he comes around to me and says, "Hey, I just want to tell you, you know, have a good new year and that." I said, "Excellent." He said, "You know, I'm having a tough time." I said, "Oh, thank God I'm here." So I said, "Excellent. You need to speak to me then. What are you?" He said, "You know, my wife is, she's going blind. She's got cancer in her eyes and she's going blind and that." And every Christian loves this opportunity. Amen. I said, "Well, guess what?" And he finished his sad story and he's struggling here and there. I said, "Let me tell you why I'm here buying a Bolt." I said, "I happen to know somebody that you need to know." And I shared the gospel with him. I laid hands upon him. I prayed for healing for him. I prayed for his wife and for his family. All over a Bolt. You see, you may have bought it, but it's not what he wanted you to do. I should have gone to EIS first. But anyway, he tested me. He gave me an opportunity. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Thank good. Yeah, absolutely. I didn't bolt. Amen. And then, of course, Louise preached a fantastic message. You know, I watched her. She stood here the whole time. The only movement she did was that with her foot. She didn't move. She didn't have to raise her voice. But the words she shared were powerful. She preached on joy. Joy. And so, and then Jan obviously followed on with hope. Hope. And so Steve asked me to hit a home run today. So the title of my message is Perseverance, the home run. Now, I know for many Christians that could be a swear word. We are instantaneous people. We love to talk about faith and believing God, but the reality is now. Now, when I put that switch on, now. So I got the definition of perseverance for us. The steadfast pursuit of an object. Constant persistence. Constant persistence. Constant persistence. And the word pursuit means, or says, is an active exercise of continual moving, gaining, and gaining ground. Continual moving. Continual moving. I've been thinking about us as people. There's three types. We all know that song, Que sera, sera. What will be, will be. That's one type of person. You go through life believing that what happens is part of the plan. It just happens. You get sick. You go to the doctor, you get your medicine, you go well. You die, it's just part of the plan. It just happens. You believe that you have no influence on your life. Is that you? I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying that's how you are. You chose to be like that. That's you. I know people like that, plenty. People in my family like that. That's it. Then you get the other type of person, the making things happen person. They take risks. They are conservative at times, but often not conservative at all. This person believes Jeremiah 29:11. We'll put that up just now. They actively pursue the plan of God for their lives. They've spent time finding out what are those thoughts, what are those plans that God thinks toward them. They believe that they can change their world. They believe they can change their world. Is that you? And then the third person we get is, I call the flipper. You run out of perseverance. So one moment, you're in Jeremiah 29:11, you're making things happen. And then you run out of steam. And then you become the quesera. Well, whatever happens, happens. I can't do anything about it. The question, we question the value of pushing on. We get tired and we get weary easily. Can you put that first slide up? What do you do when what you see, not does, does not look anything like the promise of God? What do? You persevere. The second slide. Just because your progress is not obvious, it does not mean that your faith is not working. Persevere. You see, we are so moved as people by our sight, by our feelings. And the one word that takes all of that out is the word called persevere. If you've got your Bible, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. If you haven't, I've got it on the screen for you. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. Do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. 36 says, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. When does the promise come? After you've done the will of God. I looked into the dictionary again and said, what does the word confidence mean? It means a feeling of reliance and certainty. So So I thought I'd better look at endurance as well. And this is almost out of the word, this definition. The ability to do, the ability to withstand prolonged strain. The ability to withstand prolonged strain. Endurance and perseverance are linked. When confidence, when your confidence in the promise, when your confidence in the word, when your confidence is taking strain, endure. Stick it out. Don't give up. Romans 5, if you've got your Bible, just flick over to Romans chapter 5. And we'll read verse 3 and 4. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance, character, and character, hope. Not all tribulation comes from the devil. We tend to blame him for everything, and I hate that guy. Or whatever it is. I hate that being. The fact is, we don't always. All tribulation we go through is not always brought on by him. Very often it's brought on by ourselves. A year and a half ago, for most of my life, I've consumed sugary beverages, Coke. I'm sure it's a blessing from God, but especially the zero. No. And my sugar levels had built up to a level that was not good. So I passed out at home. Fortunately, my son was there, and I was taken to hospital in an ambulance. I thought I was dying. Seriously. I was saying goodbye to the family, telling my wife the PIN codes, where you can find the will. I thought I was... My heart was pounding. It was like coming out of my chest. I was in and out of consciousness. I could hear them talking and panicking in the background. I could do nothing. I just lay there. It was pitch dark. And I realized I wasn't dying. Because if I was dying, it would be bright. It was pitch dark. My eyes were closed, obviously. And anyway, I got to hospital. Obviously, everything's fine. I'm here. I got to hospital. My blood sugar was 21. Should be under 7. So the doctor says to me, you're pre-diabetic. It was pointless at that time to rebuke the devil. He was as amazed as I was that I was not well. I brought that tribulation onto myself and onto my family. And that's one of the unfortunate things sometimes. The tribulation that you bring onto yourself will also affect those around you very often. So I didn't rebuke the devil. I changed my lifestyle. I started to consume a lot of water. I never drank water. I drank Coke or Red Bull. It's a blessing. Obviously not. I drank a lot of water. I do. I still do. I cut out sugars. I cut out anything to do with sugar. Now, I can still have a bit here and there. I'm not diabetic. I don't take injections. I don't need it. I'm fine. I'm healthy. But if I had to become diabetic, I've put myself in that place. For me. I'm talking about me, Gary. Nobody else. Me. I've put myself in that place. And it is fruitless to rebuke the devil at that time and cast that cursed thing into sea. Why? I put it on myself. Yes, God, if I had to become diabetic, God would still heal me. He wants to. He can. No problem with that. But I put myself in harm's way. Not all tribulation. But all tribulation does build character. Jeremiah 29:11. Let's read that together. We should know it by heart. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. For I know God's plans for you and I do not include sickness. They do not include poverty, disease, unemployment, rape, abortion. Those are not part of God's plans and thoughts He thinks toward us. However, we are born into a fallen world. But when you accept Jesus as your Savior, you become the redeemed. And when you are redeemed from the curse of the law. And those things I read out to you now are part of the curse of the law. But I am redeemed from that. Because I've received Jesus as my Savior, and the blood of the Lamb has taken care of that. You and I are redeemed, not our experiences. The experience of life brings tribulations at times, whether it's self-inflicted or a challenge from our enemy, and we've got enemy. But so often, we put ourselves in more tribulations than our enemy does. Yeah, I'm good at that. I'm a risk taker. So I've done crazy things. And I've brought tribulation on myself before. I've lost a company worth millions because I didn't follow the rules of a CEO. I just trusted the accountants, trusted the managing director. That's not what the book says. The book says if you're the CEO, you still got a job to do. I bought that on myself. And on my family. 7 odd years of hardship. Good Lord. I was rebuking the devil left, right, and center. And he was as confused as I was. Until one day in the shower, I'm showering there after being told what's going to happen, this, and you're going under. You finish. No plan. God's thoughts and plans, they've gone down there, you down there. It's over. Screw up. And then the Lord said to me, but you bought this on yourself. I'll show you how to get out. But we've got a process. And that's the interesting thing. When you bring something on yourself, there's a process to get out. Doesn't matter how much faith and how much confession you do. You're not going to get there instantaneously. But you persevere in your belief. You persevere as you trust God. You work at it, trust Him, believe Him, persevere, Don't give up. Persevere. Don't give up. And before you know it, you're in summer. Well, you're in spring. You're starting to sow again. My mom passed away at 69. 50 years too early in my book. I believe he should live to 120. She passed away, 69. She was a saint of saints. If you walk into a room, you can feel the love just ooze out of her. She beat cancer 4 times from the age of 30-odd. Smashed it, clean out, didn't even smell of it. But she died of cancer the 5th time round. We didn't see it coming. Snuck up on us. Within 1 month, she was dead. I lost that battle. As a family, we lost that battle. It wasn't brought on by her. The first time that she got cancer, she went in and the doctor said, "You have cancer of the breast. And you haven't got long to live." It was in her 30s. And as she comes out of the doctor's room, the Holy Spirit says, "Keep the door of your lips." That's all. That's all he says. Keep the door of your lips. Don't say a thing. So she got in the car. My dad said so. Mom says, "Hallelujah." That meant to my dad, "Go and pray. They have a sign. There's a signal." So he said, "What's on the go?" And she said, "The word of God says, I am the righteousness of Christ, of God in Christ Jesus." And that's all she had to say. We only found out about this 15 years later. 3 years after the doctor said she had cancer, she went for a checkup. He said, "You've never had cancer. Gone. Not even a scar of it anyway in her body." She just never said a thing. See, God works according to His plan and purpose. And that's His instruction He gave to her. He didn't say call for the elders, although that's what the word says you can do. He didn't say go and take communion. He just said to her, "Shh, shh, 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 shh." Because the power of life and death is in the tongue. I'm convinced that we don't get what we are believing for, not because we are not in faith, but because we give up. We stop persevering. I'm believing God for something, I'm thinking, and I look at am I in faith? How do you know if you're in faith? You know, sort of feeling you've got. You don't get some sort of feeling. I look at what I say. That's a good indication. It's got nothing to do with how you think. It's got what's coming out of here. Because my mind, you don't understand what happens up here. This is a war zone of note. The things that go through here, scary. I get scared. But we don't often see the fulfillment of the promise or what you're believing for because we don't persevere. I want to say this to you. Faith works with perseverance. Faith without perseverance is ineffective. You wouldn't need faith if things happened instantly. You wouldn't need faith. If you got sick and you said, "In the name of Jesus, I'm healed," and you were instantly healed, you didn't need faith. That was a miracle that took place. But most of us, if not all of us, at some stage in our lives, in fact, all of us will, at some stage in our lives, will have to be active in faith. Because without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Faith is active. Perseverance is active. And one does not work without the other. Faith is powered by perseverance. Now get this. This is good. Faith is powered by perseverance. Perseverance is powered by joy. When you are grumpy, when you are depressed, when you have no joy in you, it's very hard to persevere. Faith is powered by perseverance. Perseverance is powered by joy. And joy is powered by a thankful heart. I'm thankful. If you're not feeling good about yourself, just stop being thankful. I'll show you how to get thankful now. Be thankful. If you're lacking joy, which is the strength, God's strength for you to overcome, to help you persevere in order to bring about the miracle you're requiring. If you're lacking joy, become thankful. Thankful. All of us can be thankful for something at all times. If you need to become thankful, get a fresh picture. A picture every day of Jesus right now. What is He doing right now, currently? He's sitting at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. You're lacking joy? Thankful. Get thankful. I want to read something to you. I'm going to blow your mind. Blows mine every day. I do this. I know this by heart. That the God, I better tell you, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. This is a prayer Paul prayed. The eyes of Gary's understanding being enlightened, that I may know what is the hope of His calling and what are the riches of the glory of my inheritances. 19. And what is the exceeding power? The exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand of the Heavenly Father. Far above all principality. Far above it. Far above all governments. Far above all enemies. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and cancer and poverty and unemployment and sickness and disease. Far above all of our tribulations. And far above every name that is named and will be named, not only in this age, but also in this the age to come. And He's put all things under His feet. And He has become the head of all things, talking about Jesus. If you want to be thankful, if you're struggling, read Ephesians 1, 17. Every day of my life, from grade 7. Every single day of my life, in the morning and in the evening, that was my prayer. That is, and still today, is my prayer. Because there is nothing and no one that can match our God. Nothing and no one. It doesn't matter what tribulation or what challenge we face, whether we brought it on ourselves or it's an attack of the enemy. There's nothing that our God can't deal with. He does not get shocked. He's not amazed at some new thing that's just started. You see, when the going is easy, we don't need faith, we don't need perseverance, we don't need joy, we don't need to be thankful. Why? Because it's just going, it's happening. Yeah, it's just happening. It's easy. But when we hit those winter months, when we hit autumn, and even spring, it becomes a bit tough. And it's then that you've got to persevere. Remember Romans? Don't lose your confidence in the promise that he's given you. Now, he's given you promise in the word, and he's given you promise personally. Don't lose confidence in that. And the only time you're going to lose confidence is in winter, autumn, and spring. You're getting out of autumn and winter. It's the only time. Summer, joy is automatic. You wake up, oh, this is a beautiful day. Wow. Because you're in summer. Everything's just going your way. Let me say to you, though, you can die of malnutrition and you can die of obesity. It's not God's plan for you to have summer all life long. Why? Romans. Tribulations. Persevere through it. Character is developed. We will have seasons that are unpleasant. But if you persevere through, you'll get to the one you want to be in. You'll get to your summer. Everybody wants to be in summer. But you're not going to be in summer all your life. It's not part of life. It's not part of our plan for life. Why? Because God's interested in character being built in us. I just want to close. Somebody said to me, how do you, when you're in summer, how do you not become fat and lazy? Give. 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 When there's an abundance, give. As much and as quickly as you can. And I'm not just talking about rands and dollars and pounds and euros. I'm talking about the Sunday school needs teachers. I'm talking about the youth needs others to be involved. I'm talking about life groups. I'm talking about the maintenance in our house. We need some fixing on our roofs. I'm talking about being involved in the life of the house. That's giving. Come to prayer meeting. Imagine this. Imagine if you could come to a group of people that were like-minded, and you were facing a tribulation, a challenge. Imagine if you could come and say, this is what I have. And they take their amount and of faith and perseverance and they throw it in with your lot. Too often we're standing on our own through our tribulation, through our challenges. That's why being in a house of God, being in a community, a group of people, is so right. It's so right. Being in a life group, it's so right. Because it's a place where you can expose yourself. It's a place where you can say, I need now. Help me. It's a place where we can throw our faith together, throw our perseverance together, and believe for an individual or for a bunch of us. God has seasons in mind for each of us. You may be facing autumn right now. You know, if you're in autumn, you're coming into winter. But it's a season. It has a beginning and it has an end. It's not forever. Persevere. Don't stop at day one. Don't stop at day two or three or four or five or day six. When they went around Jericho, if they had stopped at day six, those walls would not have come tumbling down. They had to go through day seven, and then they saw the promise that they had been given. There are unpleasant things and challenges that come our way, even though we are the redeemed. They are. But they do not define us. That's not who we are. It's what we face at that moment. God will ensure that you and I do not live in one season or two or three. He will ensure that in our lives we enjoy all four seasons. Now, I want to pray for some people today. If you're struggling in the area of joy, we're going to pray for you. But I want to tell you, thankfulness. Get thankful. It's not anything that somebody can teach you. It's something that you've got to do of your own accord. You have to make that decision. I want to be thankful. I am thankful. What for? Well, let me think about it, and then you start spreading it out. And don't just spew it out. What are you thankful for? We're so good at throwing things off the top of our heads. What's in that heart? I'm thankful for my salvation. I'm thankful for my wife. She loves me. How? I don't know. She loves me. I'm thankful for my kids because they love me. Why? Because they're better. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for this house that I'm a part of. I'm thankful for Terry. Because when I see him, he hugs me. I love a good hug. I'm thankful for Steve, Outdoor Steve, Steve Marshall. Why? Because he is so organized, it's scary. If I ever go on an adventure, he's the man I take with me because he can make a plan. But because he's a good friend, I know I can phone him and he'll respond anytime he has before. I was at youth on Friday night. I'm thankful for the youth of this house. I was overcome with emotion on Friday. The happiness among the people. I saw people, young people, that had come out of their winters last year, and they're becoming social butterflies. Loving Jesus. I watched them worship on their own. I thought, yeah, this is it. I'm thankful for that table there. When I got to that table this morning, oh, that blood is powerful. That blood of the Lamb is powerful. It will destroy. It has and it will for you in your mind and in your body destroy whatever tribulation you and I may face. I'm thankful for His body. I'm thankful that everything that is named in heaven and in earth are under these feet in the name of Jesus. Oh, I'm thankful. I want to pray for you this morning if you are experiencing too much autumn, too much winter. But I want to say to you, when spring comes, don't give up either. So, work hard. I looked at our family. Whew, man, we've had a good few years of autumn and winter. I thank God winter came because I knew spring was coming. We're in spring now. We're sowing, working hard, working harder than I've ever had before. But that's good. That's good, because I know summer's coming. Come on. Can you come tickle those ivories, Davey? I have a word of encouragement for you this morning. I want to say to you that don't stop doing what you're doing right now. Keep pushing on. Persevere. I was praying earlier and the Lord said, I must say this to you, Terry. Keep doing what you're doing. Those gates will break open. You have no clue when or how it's going to happen, but He says, keep doing what you're doing. Keep doing what you're doing. I had a word for you when I was praying earlier, Patrick. God said, my son loves you, mad about you. Hallelujah. Let me pray with you now. If you're in autumn or winter, come, let me pray with you. Just come, let me pray with you. If you need your breakthrough, you're lacking your joy, you just want breakthrough, come, let me pray with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Richard, I'd like you to pray with me, please. You must come pray with me in the front, please. My wife. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. you hold the hand or the shoulder, you make sure you are touching that person next to you. That's your brother. That's your sister. It's been enough winter now. Enough autumn. It's time for spring, sowing now. It's time to begin, get ready so you can start reaping that harvest now. Okay, we've got some people in the front here. They're going to lay hands on you and pray. I'm going to pray with you right now. Let's go. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage for every one of us here this morning. In the name of Jesus, we understand, Father, that we go through seasons. We understand that. Some of the tribulations we brought on ourselves, and some it's an attack. Give us wisdom now, in the name of Jesus, to get ourselves out of the tribulations that we brought on ourselves. And where it's a tribulation, where I'm fighting against the enemy, I thank you for your strength, your healing power, your deliverance right now in the name of Jesus. Now you pray for that person next to you. You just, in the spirit, you pray in English, whatever language, you hold their hand, you hold their shoulder, you pray for them now. Rest of the church, bring your hands here. We've got our family here. Our family's here. Our family going through some tribulations. They need some release here. Come on. If you want to, you come lay your hands on behind them. You feel something, you come and you pray for them. Pray. Our family need input right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Our Father, we give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. Abba, Father. Dad. Your kids. Intervene right now. The joy of the Lord Jesus Christ, I speak over each one of us today, is our strength. Hallelujah. And it's with a thankful heart that I will come into your courts and I'll give you praise. I'll give you honor. I'll give you glory because it's about you. And as my eyes are turned upon you and as my focus is on you, so all things fade into oblivion. Your release right now. I thank you for that, Father. Ooh, I thank you for that right now in Jesus' name. Your release right now. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Let's give God praises. Come on. Go, but don't miss out in the name of Jesus.
When I was in China, I was sitting in my one-room apartment, and I was just praying, and God said to me, start speaking like you're standing in front of a crowd, but I'm just by myself. So I start speaking, and my eyes are closed, and he gives me this vision of these ducks. It's winter in China right now, if you didn't know. But there were these ducks in the pond, and the water was so cold. And I started speaking to the ducks, and I said, why are you still in winter? Why have you not migrated yet? You've got wings. You are made to fly. You need to go, and you need to fly right into summer. Yes, sir, they are. And I couldn't understand, and I kept saying to God, I can't understand, because it goes like this. Spring, summer, autumn, winter. Spring, summer, autumn, winter. Spring, summer, autumn, winter. But there are moments where he says, fly. You can go into spring, and there are some of you who need to go into spring because yeah, that's how it goes. But there are also some of you where you can go into summer.
Yeah, come on.
You can go into summer. Ducks in the pond, I speak to you now and I say, fly.
Fly.
If that is you today,
fly.
And if that is you today, I say, fly in Jesus' name. You were made to fly.
Fly.
It's time to migrate. It is time to migrate.
Fly in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, let's give him a roar. Come on. Hallelujah.